Indeed, here I am. I've got a comment about Ed and Chris Sherwood, and they totally denied this, but based on what they've said, and it doesn't, it's not just Ed and Chris, it's many others that have sat out in the woods, sat on top of apartment buildings, sat in various places and shined lights, sat and done consciousness work, actually willing these things to appear. I'm not at all convinced that they are not manifesting these things themselves. Now, that's not to say that I'm right, because I could be as wrong as wrong can be. But so many people who want to see these things, who consciously spend time projecting thoughts for them to appear, do seem to see them, and then beyond that, even photograph them. So they are something. It's just that I'm leaning toward thinking they're manifestations of the consciousness of those projecting the intent. That's just my feeling. And again, I could be completely wrong. In a moment, we'll turn to open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair game. All right, off to the races we go. Open lines, here it comes. First time caller line, John in Michigan. You're on the air.
Hi, Art. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Howdy.
I have a little ghost story for you.
Oh, we usually reserve those for ghost to ghost, but if it's a good one.
Well, it's kind of hard to get a hold of you. I've been trying since like 2001,
Oh,
and
my God. Okay.
I'm just it starts out where I did security back then with a bunch of people, and we toured this two-story old factory that I used to work in, and it got hit by lightning and had some holes in the floor. Well, the company wanted us to do security into this business, and it was very unsafe. So I brought my camera one night, and I took a picture of these holes in the floor. And I got the film developed, and I have a hazy white streak coming out of the hole that starts out real thin and ends heavy. And this camera always took perfect pictures. I never had a problem with it. There was nothing in the way of this hole. It was just in the floor and dark, and it just looks like an apparition coming out of the hole. And I've taken it to photographers and stuff, and they can't explain the misty type apparition. It kind of bows out of the hole too. It's not a straight shot.
All right, well,
And
send me a copy.
okay.
All right. I'm Art Bell at mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com, and I'd love to see it. Although it sounds kind of like, one of those photographs of people, kind of like the Sherwoods early photographs. And I would still urge you all to go up and look at those and see if you agree or disagree with me. But then be sure to go over to their website and take a look at the motion videos. Now, taking a single photograph from a television screen is a bad idea. It's going to be fuzzy enough in the video where it's fairly impressive because you can see the movement, but then to take a still photograph of that, usually not a good idea. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Is that, did you say West? I missed a word.
I did, yes, Heather.
Yes, hello. I'm just going to get right into my question here, not to be rude and not ask you how you're doing like everyone else, but I guess everyone else already asked. I was wondering if you could provide some additional information about an object that you said had crashed in Iran, and also
Not
the
yet. I've got the story. It says an object crashed in Iran, but of course we don't get that much news out of Iran. I'll see what I can do. Go to Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. He's got a story on it. In the meantime, Heather, let me read you what I do have. It's an update. There are preliminary reports of a possible huge explosion in the Iranian desert. Last week, we reported on a dramatic UFO incident in South Africa involving an apparent meteor crash with a very unusual sound associated with it. Now, another crash has taken place, this time in Iran. Authorities do not believe the object that crashed was an aircraft. RAND News reports the object was glowing brightly as it crashed into the Berez Mountains in central Iran on Wednesday morning. The object was observed to be on fire as it crashed and was emitting thick smoke. Similar incidents have been reported all over Iran for the past year, and many officials believe that they may be U.S. espionage devices. As in South Africa, there's been no report of any official effort to find the debris. However, the rash of such reports that we're receiving from around the world suggests that either unusual craft are crashing or there are incoming meteors that are not part of any known meteor event. So there you have it. That's all we have right now. As I get more, you will get it. Gerald in Frisco, Texas, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I think you're right about plants. I think they will grow to please you and do things for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching plants very carefully for a long time now, and I have developed some devices that you can use to observe the plant's response to you.
Oh?
One of them I've developed, anyone with modest skills could build for about $25, get the Baxter effect, notice when you admire plants, how plants respond to you. When you water a plant, you can get the plant's response to watering it. And it's just a joy to use.
Well, what is it?
Well, I haven't really named it yet. I'm going to release it in about March. First, I'll come out with a paper that'll pick up where the secret life of plants left off, talk about what happened between the 70s and now, and then I'll come out with how to build this device. What do you think we should call it?
I have no idea. You haven't really told me about it yet.
Okay. It has either a sound output or a visible output. You could hook it up to a plant, and then if you think about burning a leaf and the plant is sincerely threatened, then there would be this audible output or a visual output that would show that the plant was threatened. Or if you hook it up to your favorite house plant, when you walk into the room and it senses that you're in the area, it will respond, and you'll see that response by the light coming on or by hearing the sound.
Okay, it sounds kind of like some sort of biofeedback device, frankly, something that would emit a sound or a light, something ultra-sensitive that would, I'm not sure what it would read as far as the plant is concerned, and so what to call it? Let me give it some thought. I'm sure I can come up with something. Reaching out to...
I stand insulted.
Yeah, you're always insulted.
Yes, Mr. Bill,
your entire life is an insultation.
Well, you had that man on earlier that was claiming to be one of my disciples, was not one of my disciples. He was a liar, a Canadian operative, and he was just trying to discredit me. Let me tell you that all of my disciples are well and accounted for, except for Edna, who has been taken away from me by pornography. And that people were talking about talking to plants. That sounds
actually,
to me like
I thought it was a motorcycle that took her away.
That's right. That's right, a dirty, filthy, flea-bitten biker, mongrel, no good, that was part of your, it was all part of your...
You know, JC, she's got a website, you know.
It's not really her. That would not be her. I wouldn't believe that she would go on the filthy internet and try to solicit more people to have relations with.
I just don't believe it, JC, because it sounds just like her. I got all kinds of email from Edna years ago, and it sounds just like Edna.
Not her. I'm telling you right now, it is not Edna.
Well, if Edna would get on a motorcycle and go biking away with somebody, why wouldn't she put up a website and brag about it?
I refuse to believe such insultation, and I am insulted that you would even insinuate such things that she's on the internet soliciting herself to other people. Now, you've got people on here talking about talking to plants and all kinds of things like that.
Wait a minute. What's the matter with talking to a plant?
Because, first they're going to talk to it. They're probably smoking it. It's called reefer madness. A bunch of druggies is what you've got on here. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too. I've got my eye on your friend Tess Gretson and her new satanic book.
Tess Gretson.
Yes, Tess Gretson. She is a demonetizer.
She is.
Yes,
she's one hell of an author, I'll tell you.
She's the female version of Art Bell, and I'm warning you not to have her back on there because that just drives my blood pressure through the roof. And another thing.
I would love to have her back on. You know, she actually took the trouble to take her latest book, autograph it for me, and send it all the way to the Philippines.
I'm sure she did.
She did.
You know why? You ought to just burn that thing.
Really?
Yes, Mr. Bell. And I do not feel so well tonight because I was attacked by a cat.
Really?
Yes, I walked out of my house and the
proving once
thing
again
jumped on my
that felines have great taste.
Well, this is the cat I've been chasing for weeks and weeks and weeks. And he just attacked me and scratched the heck out of my back of my neck. It's all bleeding. And this is the cat I've been after for months. And I tell you what, I went down to my basement. I got my Tommy gun, and I'm spraying the bushes for it every time I hear a noise.
You're cutting up the bushes with an automatic weapon for
yes.
a cat?
Yes.
Oh, J.C.
I've got clamp traps out all over the place looking for it. Because we all know cats are harbingers of the devil. And the cats are demons.
Why were you chasing it?
I've been chasing this one because it's one that you sent after me.
Well,
it's part of your satanic legion of cats.
There is intent, and if intent could have put a cat on your back, I guess
right
I did.
Just right off the roof, I heard it screeching. I turned around, and there it was, tearing me up, shredding me up like a paper shredder.
All right, J.C. Listen, J.C., one of these days I'm going to do what I did before. I'm going to have you on and let the audience talk to you. I enjoy doing that. They enjoy doing that.
I would welcome the chance to minister to your filthy listeners. All your listeners are going to hell.
You think so?
Yes.
You're one of my listeners, J.C. I doubt you miss a word.
Excuse me, sir. I
doubt you miss a word.
I have to listen and pray against you. And the fact that you snuck back into the country, you're right, it was... worthy of a military maneuver. I'll give you the day you won the day that day. Sneaking back across the border like that.
Sneaking
against my wishes.
The border.
Yes.
Came in utterly legally. I hate to disappoint you.
No, sir. Once you left, you left and renounced the United States.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I would never renounce the United States. Communists. Communists.
Yes, communists in China. Philippines, we all know, is run by China.
Philippines is run by China.
That's right.
J.C., you need some sort of geologic and political education as well.
Excuse me, sir.
I'm sorry for you, buddy.
Are you insinuating that I am stupid?
It's clear why Edna left you. And I wouldn't use that word, but I wouldn't stop you from using it.
Well, Mr. Bell, I've never been so insulted by you in my entire life as I stand tonight. You
that would
have
be,
an impostulator on. You sent a tech cast after me, and now you're insulting my intelligence.
That would be insulted, buddy. Later. You know, I'm asked a lot of times if JC is real, and he is. He is real. I've had private emails from JC. I've had private emails from Edna over the years. And I know it's difficult to envision that anybody like that really does exist on the face of the earth and makes it through more than a week with that kind of blood pressure. But apparently he does. Let's go to the wild card line and say hello in Alberta, Canada. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi there, Art. How are you?
Hi. I'm all right, sir.
Yeah, you got me following JC there. He knows insulted is not a word, right?
I'm not certain of that.
Anyways, I don't want to talk about that. I have an interesting theory about the formation of the moon.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I believe that the moon was created at the same time that, or the same event that brought life to Earth, actually.
Well, that's entirely possible. Are you referring to the original act of creation, or what?
No, nothing like that. No, it's very, actually, are you aware of the current theory of the moon, formation of the moon? The giant impactor theory?
Well, yes, it's something giant crashed into Earth, and a big chunk of Earth became the moon.
Yeah, something like that, but more, it is a giant impactor theory, but it's more the composition of the impactor. You see, if you were to take all of the water on the Earth, including the ice and everything in the ocean, all the fresh water, and make a big ball of it out in space,
yes,
I believe that's 1.5 cubic kilometers of water. It would create a sphere about 900 miles big.
So, in other words, you think something slammed into the Earth, creating,
yeah.
creating, for example, what are today the oceans of the world. It may have been a different geographic lineup that long ago. crashed into the Earth, and a big chunk came out, became the moon, and there was a hole there, and that eventually filled with water. As good a theory as any. East of the Rockies in St. Paul. You're on the air, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you. I was earlier in the program, they mentioned group meditation worldwide to heal
yes.
Earth.
That's right.
And I was wondering what time on Sunday that was.
Well, they're, of course, gone now, but I would imagine their website would explain all of that, Carolyn.
I don't have that type of push-button stuff. But
push-button stuff? You mean computers?
Yeah. Sorry to call it just push-button. Well, anyway.
Well, I'd say, give it a try on Sunday, and I'm sure it'll probably work. Well,
I figured I could always meditate from 8 o'clock morning till off and on during the day and may catch the time.
There
you
go.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome. Take care. And I would think there's probably nothing wrong with some meditation on trying to heal Earth. I would hesitate to call some great group to bear on all of that right now, but there may come a day when I will do exactly that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Diane.
Hi, this is really exciting. I just wanted to tell you and thank you for everything you do. My one comment is that I think our collective consciousness that you talk about is so important, especially when so many folks are concentrating on Armageddon. I really think that it's possible to bring something like that about if you concentrate on it long enough with enough people. And then my question to you is I was wondering if you've been following the story of the avian flu that hit the chickens in Texas. I was reading something online. I typed in dying birds, Texas, on Yahoo, and it said in Sulphur Springs, 24,000 chickens had to be destroyed because of the avian flu. And I'm just wondering if you've heard about that.
I have not yet, but I will certainly look into it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, and take care.
You too.
Boy, I had some echo on that, really serious echo. You may not be able to hear it out there, and I hope that you cannot. Greg in Arizona, you're on the air.
All right. Welcome back to the Kingdom of Nye. We
thank
you.
Thank you.
Basically, I'm around the corner from you over here in northern Arizona. Back in 97, we had the Phoenix Lights. My wife and I would say a couple of days prior to all the hoopla, we were living here in Meadview. She woke me up to that, the sound that goes through your body, and the actual ship took. I woke up, look out the window, sure enough, I just had to let somebody know that has some input to the outside world that they are out there. And I think Chicago might have a little enlightenment to it, along with the folks that you just had on about the crop circles. There's got to be at least 15% of them that are real.
You've got to wonder. I wonder if you, Greg, I wonder if you wonder if some of this is being manifested by the researchers that are looking for it.
I would say yes. No, that's a great thought. You know, you got to sit and contemplate that after everything we've been through in our lifetime. Absolutely.
All right, Greg. Thank you very much. I think so too. We've done so much lately on consciousness, intent, and all the rest of it. And when you get folks like we just had on the air who sit and meditate, trying to cause these things to appear in the sky, then see them, and to be fair, photograph them as well, and you've got to wonder if possibly they're not the ones producing the apparitions. We'll be right back. JC, if you're out there, meow. Makes me think of my cats on their way back on the 18th. Boy, we can't wait to see their furry little faces again. We will be right back. All right, back to the you name it, we'll talk about it line. First time caller line, Stephen, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. I've been listening to you for quite a few years, first time I've called.
Yes,
I want to talk about hypnosis and the process of hypnosis. I remember listening to Dr. David Jacobs on December 15th in Andruffel last night, and and how they're able to get people to recall different events by putting them under hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you've ever done a show about hypnosis. Cause,
I certainly have, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of questions about it. I've been under hypnosis myself and to stop smoking. But
did it work?
It did. It sure did. And it just, I find the cigarettes, I still think of them in a positive way, but I also think of them in a very negative way for some reason. And I've still had to fight it. I still get cravings, but it did work. I don't know. I think hypnosis causes people to imagine and fantasize rather than.
There's a great debate about that.
Yeah.
The line and the way the line of questioning by the hypnotist is laid out can lead a person down a road of fantasy.
Right.
So they've got to be very careful. So a lot of it, I think, depends on the hypnotist.
I see. Right. Right. Because, I mean, I remember being in kind of like a dreamlike state and where I was just, you know.
Well, if I had you in a suggestive state.
Right.
And I said something like, did you see a craft? And perhaps you came to me because you did see something.
Right.
You would say yes. And then I could kind of lead you from there. And suggest to you that you had been taken aboard that craft, and you might go along with it and say, well, yes, I was. And do you remember the creatures? Yes. Do you remember what they look like? Well, at that point, your mind takes over and begins to construct what it thinks the hypnotist wants to hear.
Right, right.
So?
Right, exactly. And I don't know, but even coming in with kind of preconceived notions, coming into the session, might cause you to draw on those notions and then kind of, just take off from there.
It might.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know.
I don't know either, but it's been a very, very long controversy ever since we've had hypnosis available. That's been a question. And, of course, there was this big deal of, a lot of children who thought they were molested and they were hypnotically taken back and, they describe the molestation and all the rest of it, and a lot of that proved to be untrue. So there's a lot to ask about that. Christopher in Brighton, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
How you doing, Art?
Okay.
You had a guest, and it was months ago, I don't know how long ago, and he remote viewed the Antichrist.
Well, I had Ed Dames, who remote viewed Lucifer.
Okay. This person basically went through the day-to-day operations of this person who was the Antichrist, and it was pretty mundane things, actually. And he actually knew that I wouldn't remember his name.
He thought
he would be Ed Dames.
Was it Ed Dames?
I don't know. But basically,
okay, well, all I can tell you, sir, is that I, in fact, interviewed Ed Dames, and he had remote viewed Lucifer, and it is my considered opinion that Ed has never been the same since. I know he would argue with that, but that's simply my opinion. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Barb in Ontario.
Hi, Art. I have an interesting kind of story for you. You've heard of spontaneous human combustion?
Oh, yes.
I have a story of spontaneous chair combustion. It was the strangest thing. It was a few years back. I bought this chair at a yard sale, and it was like an outdoor chair. You know, like a bamboo wicker chair, and it has like a high, high back?
Sure.
It was a chair like that, and the only thing that was wrong with it was the arm was a little broke, so I used branches, and I wove it in, and then I used twist ties to hold it in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm,
and then
sure.
What I did is I painted the chair all in white oil paint after, and it was really beautiful. And we had it all summer, and then in the fall time, my husband and I came back, I forget where we went, and the chair was gone. And I said to my husband, well, holy geez, someone stole our chair. And then we looked around the yard, and then my husband goes, honey, nobody stole the chair. And I says, well, what do you mean? And he was standing at his feet was our chair. There was absolutely no wood left. It was just a pile of ash, but it was in a perfect circle. And on top of the circle, it looked like someone took all of the white paint, scraped it, because it wasn't melted, it was chipped. And it's like they took the white paint after it was completely ashed and just sprinkled it on top of the ashes. And all the little twist ties that I had were just sitting on top. It was
Barb, that's really weird.
Oh, it was freaky. So we didn't know if there was, like, you know, like in our minds we're thinking, okay, it's maybe someone caused the fire, right? So we called the police, and they came in, and the cop was so, like, he was funny. He was laughing. He says, I've never seen anything like that in my life. He says, that definitely wasn't a fire. He said it was the weirdest thing. And what's kind of funny is that night, like, we couldn't sleep that night because our cat had just died, like, 2 days ago, and I was really saddened at it. So we were up all night till 7 in the morning, and we live on top of a cliff pretty well, like, right on the very top of a hill.
Sure.
And it was fall, so all the leaves were all dry, you know what I mean? And the winds that night must have been about 60 miles per hour. So if there was a fire that night, first of all, like, our chair was kind of in front of our living room window. We would have seen a glow or a flame or something.
Sure.
And then the other thing was, being so windy, you think if there was a fire, it would have just flew away. And it had been kind of situated under a tree, and there was not one burnt leaf, nothing. It was so freaky. And to this day, we still scratch our heads about it. But, I mean, there was not one piece of wood left. It was a complete circle of ash.
You know what you got to wonder, Barb?
Weird.
You know what you got to wonder? You know what you've got to wonder, Barb? If you had been sitting in the chair.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Would you be part of the ashes?
My husband said he loves you.
Yeah, I heard that. Thank you both very much. And you do have to wonder about that. We don't know what causes spontaneous human combustion. I never really considered the possibility that it was the chair. West of the Rockies, Chad, you're on the air in Arizona.
Yes, sir. George Norrie had Stephen Quayle on a couple nights ago, and they were talking about the smell in New York City. And one of the things they discussed was the possibility of pockets of methane gas coming out of the Atlantic Ocean. And they discussed that this phenomenon was occurring worldwide, so to speak. And I was under the impression that the smell you get with natural gas or methane is a chemical additive so that you can detect it because it's supposed to be an odorless gas. And
No. The gas, natural gas, or propane, for example, has an added smell. And the gas you get for your stove has an added smell so that if there's a leak, you can find it. Methane would smell awful. You'd know methane, believe me.
Oh, yeah. They had said that natural gas and methane was the same thing, basically, but they didn't clarify that point.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I know they add a smell to gas that consumers use, you know, so that you'll understand that you're in danger. Now, maybe methane doesn't have a particular smell to it. I thought it did, but Maybe you're right, because there was this situation in, I think it was Africa, I can't remember where it was, where a lake emitted a bunch of methane gas and killed virtually a whole village, and I guess there was no odor attached to it.
Well, I was kind of thinking along what you were saying, just about maybe there might be some subtle difference between methane gas and natural gas, and there might be an odor. Maybe sometimes there is, maybe sometimes there isn't, but I'm not no expert on it, so I was just wondering if you had an opinion about it. So thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Well, my opinion would be that there is some danger, that there's a lot of methane that's trapped on the ocean floor. And with the changes that are going on, I would not be surprised if we were to hear about a sudden methane release. It's not something they like to talk about because it's extremely dangerous. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, this is John from Springfield, Illinois.
Hey there.
I got a shortwave question for you. My mom went to an auction and bought some radios. One of these has a shortwave band on it. I'm getting some really weird sounds. Can I let you listen to something and see what you think of it?
Okay.
What you think it is?
Sure.
I don't want to be too loud here. Can you hear that, Art?
I do.
It's on the shortwave band, right around 6.2, it looks like.
I'm not at all sure what I'm hearing there. I thought I heard CW. That's code for
is that
a moment.
Code or, is
it... Yeah, some of it is, but I think...
Sorry about that.
I think that's all right. No, it might be digital. You might be hearing some kind of digital signal.
Well, a listener called in probably about a month ago, was saying something about the old AM radios. There was like a Morse code that he used to hear. There's some kind of Morse code. The screener, I let her hear it. It's right before I went on the air with you, it quit doing it.
I'm going to guess that's a digital transmission of some sort, and that's just a guess.
And when you do your shortwave, do you usually have like a certain number that you're on when you do it on your ham radio?
And we're going to pick a new one pretty soon. I'll let you know about that. I'm not currently on the air. I've got to get my equipment going.
You know what? Maybe you came back for a reason, Art, because, you know, the power went off, and then you led the whole valley.
Thanks, are you Art. Here?
Yes.
Where are you?
I'm in Springfield. Oh, I'm in the middle of an ice storm in Springfield here.
Oh, okay.
About an inch of ice going on. Thanks, Art.
You're very welcome, and take care. It's weird weather. I don't care what anybody says. We are having profoundly disturbing weather around the country, and part of it is here. Wildcard Line, you're on the air, Drew.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Glad you're back.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you've ever heard about this. I think our junk DNA is remnants of our own that have been unplugged by the Anunnaki to better control us. Now, there's a scientific theory out there called the Cataclysmic Continental Drift Theory, which replaces the Pangaea theory, and that 250 million years ago, we were hit by a large planet, and it mutated the, you know, split in half. Earth is ancient Sumerian for the cleaved one, and we were split in half, and the core material, radioactive core material, mutated us and changed our DNA, and you know, our DNA is healing, I think, and the junk DNA is actually foundations for potential other helixes, like a third or fourth or fifth strain of helixes.
Well, that's as good a theory as any, or you could have a theory that so-called junk DNA is DNA that is yet to come into use. In other words, as we evolve, that DNA may switch on and give us abilities we don't now have.
Right.
Who knows? Okay, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Intriguing, junk DNA. Jim, in Lakewood, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. You know what, you're with JC? I want JC to understand that Jack Kevorkian recently got paroled, and if there's a medical consult, that's the way to go. But anyway, my thing about cats, about, you know, you have cats, I have cats. I've always had cats. And the ancient Egyptians used to evacuate cats out of a burning house before women and children because they idolized them. They used to shave their eyebrows during the period of mourning when a cat died. And I feel like that. I have a condition called mitral valve prolapse where my heart palpitates sometimes. Right. My little cat used to lay on my chest and make me feel better than any medicine I've ever had. That purring that cats have, they've looked for years as to why the purring has a certain sound to it.
Actually, they have no idea, sir, why cats purr.
I know, that's why. And you know what? Believe me, Art, I know. When that cat lay, because she was 21 years old when she died, but when she laid on my chest and worked better than any medicine that I ever had for my condition. She would purr, and that is sort of like, we'll call it an ultrasonic feeling. It made me feel like a real person.
Actually, sir, I think there's science to back that up. I believe there is actual science to back that up. That when you pet a cat or a dog, or you allow a cat to purr with you, it has a healing effect. And then, of course, you mentioned, I believe, the Egyptians. Well, there's a saying that the Egyptians once worshipped cats, and cats have never forgotten that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air, Larry.
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
First time I ever talk with you. I'm sure glad I got the chance to. And I've been studying astronomy since, what, the 50s, and seeing my share of UFOs, but that's not the question I want to ask. Mars, that fascinates me, of course. And this is my theory. It's just a theory, me and this other guy. I think there's life in the caverns of Mars. I think there's that's where the life's going to be found. I think it's going to be found in there's going to be water underneath there because the surface, of course, is very hostile.
Well, a lot of people agree with you. If there is going to be life on Mars found, it's going to be found beneath the surface.
Yeah, and I also, a friend of mine knew somebody that worked for, I think it's in Pasadena, where they make the Mars landers. And he thinks what he heard is kind of bizarre, that they already found fossils on Mars. I don't know if you ever heard about that, but they already found like brachiopods and gastropods and plesiopods and stuff like that. That they
Larry, it
wouldn't, and they're keeping it hushed up.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I've said this for a long time. It would be so disturbing, even if it was fossils, it is my opinion that it would so disturb so many people on so many levels that they simply would not release it right away, or perhaps ever. First time caller line, James in Auburn, New York. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Love your program.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you were aware of a UFO being on the movie Jaws?
No.
Well, it's there.
And during what part? Because I've got a copy.
Well, good. Our driver is on top of the boat, and it's kind of like dark. And he's looking through this thing that he brought, a bag or something for a gun.
Right, right.
And you have to watch very quickly because it's just a red streak behind his head. And it's coming down about a 30-degree angle. What I did was I was watching it, and it was a VHS tape. And when I was taping it, I noticed it, and I said, what the heck is that, you know? So I rewound it, and I hit the pause button, the pause stay button.
Right.
And I jogged it. I jogged it back across the screen frame by frame.
Right.
And I was able to see in front of the streak a white light. And it went all the way across the screen, down behind his head, and then went out of the focus. I went out of the picture. But I continued to watch, and as you look, they kind of panned back with the movie that they were taking, and the boat was just bobbing in the water. And if you look over to the left, you can see, which I think, it came back around and went into the clouds up on the left-hand side.
Okay, how far into the movie is that?
Well, maybe halfway.
One and a half, okay. I will go take a look.
It's before the shark started banging in the bottom to make it sink.
Got it. All right, I promise you I'll take a look. I've got to go because the show is over. And this is Crystal. What a voice. All right, everybody, that's it. See you next weekend. Everybody have a good week ahead. From the high desert, good night.